Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, with the Lord's help, we'll continue a message I began last week, which I've entitled, Thy Kingdom Come. And there are some very important lessons that are outlined in the New Testament that are directives to the church, the body of Christ. Just by way of brief review, the first thing, of course, obviously, is to preach the gospel by word and by life example. This was illustrated by the very words of Jesus just before he ascended to his Father in Mark the 16th chapter, verse 15. And then also, we are to pray continually. Let our hearts be centered upon what God desires to do in this generation, in this world, and also in our own lives. He gave as an example the Lord's Prayer, and without going into further detail, After you praise Him, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. The next most important thing before our own needs, which most of that brief prayer is centered on, is to pray that Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In those few words, it is complete, it is succinct, to pray that God's will be done just as it is in heaven. That will be heaven on earth, and we'll see that there will be peace, tranquility, abundance during the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then amazingly, with the King of Kings residing in Jerusalem, that at the end of that time of perfect peace, it'll be the utopia that mankind has always sought after and desired. They still will rebel against the authority of the King. And of course, God will deal with them at that point in time. And then righteousness will reign throughout the universe. He will send them to the lake of fire, and we shall inherit the kingdom. If so, we are to pray, we're to preach by word and example, we are to pray, and we're to wage effective spiritual warfare against the forces of darkness. Because the enemy seeks to devour, he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said in Matthew very clearly, 16th, 18th chapter, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but he assured us of victory. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. And then the final thing, which I just made mention of at the conclusion of yesterday's broadcast, is that we are to occupy until I come. What does that mean? Well, the definition of that is to be occupied, to busy oneself, to attend with the work, matter, or business at hand. And that is whatever God has laid out for our lives at the present time. And we have seasons. I am always fond of saying this. We have seasons in the various times of our lives. What we would do maybe in our 20s will be quite different. The responsibilities, the commitments when we are mature or when we are in advanced in age. But in every season, God has a plan for us. So we're to busy ourselves with the things that God has given to us to do. And I'd like to share quickly the parable that Jesus gave in the 19th chapter of Luke. And he said, therefore, verse 11, they were getting close to Jerusalem, and they thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear, and he was using this parable to let them know, not exactly, it's not your time, but the Father's time. He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. This is, of course, speaking of the Lord. And he called 10 servants unto him. He delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy until I come. keep busy with what I've put into your hands to do. And of course, verse 14, his citizens hated him, sent a message unto him, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, this is, we can, you know, align this to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will deal with the wicked, those who want nothing to do with him or have his reign over them. He, having received the kingdom, he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And then the first came to him, Lord, your pound that you gave me 10 pounds. He said, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. He did the increase. He worked with what God had given to him, and he was fruitful in his life. He said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And what was the Lord's response? And this is, again, speaking of our righteous judge, the faithful one, Jesus Christ. I will judge thee out of thine own mouth, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou gavest not thy money into the bank, that at my coming I might have received mine own with usury. And he said unto him that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said, well, Lord, he's got 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So basically, the Lord is saying, because he is a just God, that which he puts into our hands, we don't have to be fearful. But as we seek him in ways that will bring glory to him, to fulfill his will for our lives, and he's a righteous judge. He's not a slave driver. He's a kind, wonderful master. But he is telling us in this parable that that which he has given us, he expects us to receive as his gifts, and that we are to be faithful in our life, in our service, that whatever we do will bring glory to him. All right, so having said that, these are our current marching orders, if you will. We were looking last week at some spiritual principles, how the Lord dealt with Israel under the Old Covenant, how he led his people, how he directed its leaders. And of course, the paramount figure that we want to look at is David. He was a type of Christ. And when he when the warfare was accomplished, I mean, Saul persecuted his life for however how many years he was hiding, but the time came that word was going to be fulfilled. He was to reign over his people Israel. And so David, he represented, if you will, a warrior generation, which I believe is what we are to, in these last days, to assume that same calling. The reign of David was the culmination of Israel's rich spiritual heritage, and it was demonstrated through King David, who was a type of Christ. Now, both in the Old Testament, the New Testament, there's a reference in Amos, I won't turn, but in Acts, the 15th chapter, there was this big meeting. The apostles came to Jerusalem to determine courses of action regarding the Gentiles. And it says, James stood up, who was the pastor of that Jerusalem church. He was talking about Peter's experience with the Gentiles. He was referencing specifically Cornelius, who was a Gentile, because at that point, the Jews just thought, well, this message was sort of for them. And he said, after this, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. why? The verse 17 declares that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles, all the nations of the earth, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all of these things. So, what did David do? When the time was right, God gave him the kingdom. What was the most important thing he had to do? Well, he had to possess the capital city, which is, we understand that the plan, and this is why we understand the importance of God's order, that the kingdom of God was set up by degrees. That is occurring today. It will not be finished or accomplished until the king comes. We are not ruling in the place of the Lord Jesus. We are getting preparation for his glorious return. The first thing we see is David had been ruling 7 years in Hebron, in other words, over Judah. But then all the tribes of Israel came to him and anointed him king over all Israel. Beloved, I believe, you know, the church has been fractured by so many different doctrines, so many different denominations. I was sharing just recently, someone gets saved and, okay, what church do they go to? There's so many denominations because we can never agree on the most basic of all things, and that is the Word of God. The early church had no problem. They just believed what the Scripture said. They believed the words that Jesus told them to do. And so David basically brought unity to the people of God. And beloved, the only thing that's going to bring unity to the people of God is to base their life and their doctrine on the Word of God. That's why God has supernaturally preserved his word, that we would have unity as we look not to a denomination, not to any man, but to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is able to lead us. Well, all right, this is the first thing. There's an act of unity that must come, and that will come by the Spirit of God to believers as we love and seek him. His word will abide in our hearts and in our lives. All right, well, we're going to look tomorrow at the next stage that David did. Praise God. So I thank you for joining me, and I invite you, if you have prayer needs, don't hesitate to share those needs. This is a ministry of prayer and correspondence since 1965, when my late husband, Brother Glass, established the ministry. I thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,